and the world of freedom.
Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
This is Radio Goethe Magazine with Arndt Peltner. News and information from the heart of Europe.
Hello and welcome to Radio Goethe Magazine. I'm Arndt Peltner. In today's program, we talk about the Trabant, the classic East German car. So stay tuned. But first, the news.
Radio Goethe Magazine. The News with Nina Paula.
Berlin. Germany is to compensate the victims of the controversial Afghanistan airstrike in September. According to the German Defense Ministry, it is negotiating a compensation package for the families. The goal is to obtain long-term compensation for those injured in the airstrike and the families of those who died. As Germany continues trying to deal with the fallout of the September 4 German-ordered bombing in Kunduz, pressure is growing on Berlin to send more troops to Afghanistan. U.S. Special Representative Richard Holbrooke told two German papers that a greater number of German troops would be welcome. The decision will be made by German Parliament after the International Afghanistan Conference in January. Berlin. Europe's largest Jewish cemetery is getting a facelift. It is located in Berlin's Weißensee neighborhood and stretches 42 hectares and contains around 115,000 tombstones. The cemetery is even one of the most decayed and up to now overgrown with vegetation and all those signs of neglect. To save the impressive testimonial to the German Jewish history, Berlin is kicking in €950,000. The graveyard wall will be restored, the paths improve, and the gravestones will be prevented from deteriorating further. Berlin. Germans remain the undisputed kings of travel. New figures show that no nation's feet itch like theirs, even in these times of economic hardship. The president of the German Travel Association assured that almost as many Germans had been on organized holidays in 2009 than the year before. One reason for the German Wanderlust is money, which they save for things they really want.
Robust, powerful, lively, stable cornering. Equal to any occasion, numerous international rally victories prove you can rely on this car. Trabant 601. Place of production, VEB Sachsenring Automobilwerke Zwickau, German Democratic Republic. Special feature, the world's first producer to manufacture in series a car body which is completely coated with thermosetting plastic and thus gave the car long life at minimum maintenance. Hundreds of thousands of Trabant drivers have appreciated that for long.
Troy Goffin is an American living in East Germany, and living in the former GDR, you will come for sure across the Trabant, the car that was a national symbol. Goffin thought it might be good to research the history of this one-of-a-kind automobile. The result is a documentary film called Trabant, Cool Coupé from the Cold War, available on DVD through Amazon and other outlets. Troy Goffin is now with me on the phone, and the obvious first question is, why is an American interested in this funny little car?
Well, back in 1999, my then-girlfriend, who's now my wife, as I said, was from East Germany, she told me about something called the Trabant. Now, we got married in 2002 in San Francisco, believe it or not, and we had a little party at the Walzwerk restaurant. I'm sure you've been there. And they had all these little toy Trabants there, and she said that this was the most famous car in the world that no one in the USA seems to know about. She told me it was used in the Eastern Bloc for vacations, daily commutes, deliveries, like any other vehicle. And then she told me that it won the medal in the Monte Carlo Rally. And then when the wall came down, it went from this obscure relic of the Cold War to a worldwide cult phenomenon. And there's even a Trabant festival where it was made in Zwickau. Now, I had been a car enthusiast. I used to have a classic Volvo, and I had never heard of this car. And as someone who really liked cars at the time, I still do, I was really fascinated by this. So that's how I kind of got into this, what on earth is this little car that looks like something out of a cartoon that is so famous among everybody else except the Americans. And when you think about it, the Americans are very car-oriented, yet when you ask anybody on the street, an average American, have you ever heard of the German Trabant, they'll say, oh, you mean the sausage, or do you mean the beer? And most people have no idea what a Trabant is.
If you haven't seen the car, it's hard to imagine. Could you describe the Trabant to our listeners?
Sure. The Trabant, most people, when they see a Trabant, most people have a hard time believing that there were more than 3 million of these things built. They are very small, for one thing. They are unusually small, even by compact car standards. I was told by Dr. Werner Lang, he was the head of construction at VW Sachsen Ring in Zwickau, where they built the Trabant, that he took this basically two trapezoids, which were very in vogue at the time in the late 50s, and decided to build a car based on that design. And it's a small car with a very small wheelbase. And if you are usually over 6 feet tall, driving one can be a bit of an issue because of the space. But once you get used to it, it's not that bad. It looks, if I could give you an exact description, it looks like something out of a Bugs Bunny cartoon. That's as accurate as I can describe it. It looks like from the front it's got two headlights, and if you have the fancier model, you can have auxiliary lights or fog lights in addition. It's made of a material called duroplast, which was made is a thermoplastic, which was made out of waste cotton from the former Soviet Union, and a synthetic resin, which was used as a bonding agent. And the car itself has almost no trunk to speak of, or a boot, as they call it here, because of the spare tire. And the rear space is very, very small. So when you see one driving down the road, it's like unlike anything you had ever seen before. There was only a two-door model made, and in the States they're usually known as cars with four doors are known as sedans and or limousines, and cars with two doors are known as coupes. But over here they call it a Stufenheck Limousine, which there's no way I would ever associate the Trabant with the term limousine, but that's what they called it. And it has a very distinctive look to it. Once you've seen one, you never forget it. And the only other model that differed from the initial two-door was the station wagon. And again, it's almost identical, but it's slightly larger, and the rear seat folds down, which expands the back cargo space significantly. They are very hard to find in the States. As far as I know, there may be only about 100 of them, if that many. And the last time I saw one in the States was, believe it or not, in Berkeley, California.
Another funny fact about the Trabant is that on the Autobahn, even if you can't see the car yet, you could smell it from way behind it.
That is a hallmark of the car, is that very odorous, I would call it an aroma, for lack of a better word. The Trabant has a two-stroke motor. And if you could imagine one of those riding lawnmowers that you see, cutting a baseball field or a really large lawn, that's basically, for me, what a Trabant sounds like and smells like, because it's a very unrefined motor. It is the fuel is, in fact, mixed with oil to keep the motor lubricated. There's no, like they have in the modern cars with larger engines, there's no extra reservoir for the motor oil. You mix everything together, and the motor is lubricated with the oil that you add to the fuel. And again, that produces. I mean, it's, I would not refer to a Trabant as a green car by any means.
How did people in East Germany react when you approached them with the idea of a documentary about the Trabant?
Well, the most obvious reaction was surprise, because when I approached people like Dr. Werner Lang and Dr. Reichelt of the Duroplast department, and people like Peter Ehrlich, who in fact was the company filmmaker at Fowey Base Action Ring, and he was also, when he wasn't doing that, he was also a welder on the assembly line, and some of his compatriots who also worked on the assembly line, they were very, very surprised that, number one, I'd even heard of a Trabant, and number two, I was so interested in it that I wanted to make a film about it. And the reason I wanted to make a film about it is once I had moved to Germany, and even before then, I had seen German-made programs from, you know, the big TV stations here, regional and national, about the Trabant, because the 50th anniversary of the Trabant was coming up in 2007. And every single program I had seen always took the insider's perspective, which is to say, the programs that were being produced already assumed that the audience already knew what a Trabant was, and there was no reason to go into any real detail about, well, number one, what is a Trabant? Why was it built? Where was it built? And all these obvious questions for people who may not be really familiar with the Trabant to ask. So we try not to be patronizing when we made the film, and, you know, not talk down to the audience, but at the same time presenting them with a very unique car with a very unique history that represents something that no other car in the world does.
For your documentary, it seems you got great access to the archives with lots and lots of historical film footages. How were you supported? Because the Trabant is an East German phenomenon. In the West, people just made fun of this unique car.
Well, again, the attitude of the people whom we contacted was for us really, really surprising. These were fellas probably in, I would say, they're retired, in retirement age, and they were really gung-ho about the whole idea of, oh, you are going to make a documentary about this car in English for American audiences, and they seem to be really, really, really enthusiastic, and this is not something that we expected. We expected them, again, this was, again, a really big, a really pleasant surprise. We expect them to be very conservative and say, well, yeah, but don't quote me. Don't write that down. But instead, they were calling us, and they were saying, you know, we, when are you coming by? We'll have everything set up, and, you know, when are we doing this? And they were really, really gung-ho about the whole idea. And when I brought up the idea of using original archive footage from Fowey Bay Saxon Ring, and I talked to Peter Ehrlich, again, as I mentioned, was the in-house filmmaker at Fowey Bay Saxon Ring, because back in the old days, before the wall came down, every facility like Fowey Bay Saxon Ring Zwickau had its own in-house film production studio. So he had all of these films that were never seen. Most of them were never, rarely ever seen outside of Zwickau, outside of Saxony. So, of course, I mean, this guy had, I don't know how many films I watched, I lost count. He had something like several containers just full of 16-millimeter film, some with sound, some without. And I don't know how many of these we watched together. I honestly lost count. I spent days in Zwickau just with Peter Ehrlich watching these films, and it was very difficult for me to make a decision on which ones we were going to work with, because there was just such a wealth of material. And when I realized that I don't think anyone in the States had ever seen these films before and had never seen this perspective before, I said, this is a gold mine. We're going for it. And again, the cooperation that we were shown from not only Peter Ehrlich, but everybody in his circle and Dr. Lang and Dr. Reichel, it was just, for us, just a really wonderful surprise.
Who is your target audience? Is this more a film for Germans remembering this automobile, or is it for an astounded American audience who won't believe their eyes that a car like this could even run?
It is most definitely the American audience. As I've said, the Trabant is a very, very, very well-known car and with a really huge cult following in Germany, in Austria, in Switzerland, and all over Europe, in fact. But it is not known, except to a very, very limited number of people in the United States. And the people who know about the Trabant, you could probably count them all and not go up very high on the number scale. But the people who know about the Trabant in the United States is very, very, very limited from my understanding of it, simply because, well, number one, it was built in the East, behind the Iron Curtain. So obviously for any time before 1989, before the wall came down, you'd never heard of the Trabant. It was something that wasn't discussed. I mean, that was built over there, and over there, behind that big wall, we don't know what goes on, and we don't want to. That's over there. Whatever goes on behind that wall stays behind that wall. But the wall is gone, and when you think about it, every picture, or most every picture, or every piece of archive footage from the time that the wall fell, you always manage to see a Trabant in it, and the Trabants are heading west. So for us, the Americans are our target audience, because the goal of my film, when I first got the idea of what the Trabant really represented, was the fact that the Trabant represents the escape from Eastern Germany to freedom in the West. And this is something that I think the American audience will understand and appreciate, especially when you consider that even in Eastern Germany, even if you couldn't travel exactly where you wanted to go, which is to say across the border, you could still get behind the wheel and enjoy that independence, even though you could only go in the Eastern Bloc. You could only drive, but you could drive at all without Big Brother in the back seat telling you how to drive or how fast or what. You could go where you wanted to, when you wanted to. But you couldn't go across the border. But that freedom, that feeling of freedom that everybody who has ever driven a car can understand was still true behind the Iron Curtain with the Trabant. And I think the Americans will appreciate that perspective.
Do you have a Trabant?
No, I do not. I have a little car called the Škoda, which is often referred to as the prettiest daughter of Volkswagen. It's a Volkswagen subsidiary, which is built in the Czech Republic.
Is it still possible today to buy a Trabant?
In Germany, you can fairly easily find Trabants in the East. There is usually one in the local paper every week, every other week. Finding a Trabant is hardly an issue here. I mean, if you look hard enough, you can find what you want here. That's not an issue.
What will you try to do with this film? Are you going to present it on film festivals as well?
Well, again, the film is available for purchase as DVD or as download on Amazon.com. And we are, since this is the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall coming up very, very soon, we are trying to get the word out with radio interviews and hopefully some television interviews as the opportunities present themselves, and a very big marketing push with press releases and such to get the word out that this film is available right now online, again, through Amazon.com. And if they want to find the car enthusiasts who really want to know about a really unique automobile which has a history unlike any other car ever built, or the history buffs who want that rare peek behind the Iron Curtain, those are our audience. And I'm sure that those people are going to be looking on Amazon.com. And when they find our film, they will probably be interested in purchasing it and hearing our story.
So what comes next for you? Are you maybe focusing on the legendary East German motorcycle MZ, Motorenwerke Zwickau?
We have discussed what our next project is going to be, and that is on that list. There are several things that, again, we don't want to tip our hand too far at this point, but there are several vehicle-related projects that we would be interested in pursuing. But again, it depends on the level of cooperation between my team and the people who we'd be making the film about. And there are, again, several possibilities, but it's kind of too early to tell at this point.
But are you going to focus again on East German history?
I would probably say more over East, not just East German, but Germany in general. There are just so many stories, not only here in the East, especially here in the East, that have never been told, or if they have been told, they've only been told to the people who live here and not outside. And my opinion is, as an American living in the former East Germany, what I find fascinating as a transplant here will probably be really, really interesting to other Americans, because I tend to see things, you know, again, from an outsider's perspective. And if you can present such things in other outsiders can understand, then usually you could potentially have a hit on your hands.
That was Troy Goffin, the filmmaker of Trabant Cool Coupe from the Cold War. You can find it, for example, on Amazon.
Robust, powerful, lively, stable cornering, equal to any occasion. You can rely on the Trabant 601 from Zwickau.
That was today's Radio Goethe Magazine. Thanks so much for listening. Please find us and our free podcast online at radiogoethe.org. I'm Arndt Peltner.